Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I want people to bring it.
To be entertaining for Shane.
To be entertaining, to have a thought.
You better bring it. Oh, it's already been brought.
You call, you get past Shane, then you get into our little version of Club Duck.
We ask for calls.
We got Todd.
We got Todd.
It is my pleasure. And Danny, you might remember, I'm the Browns fan that calls every week. And some people know me as the meatball idiot that roots for the Browns.
Who cares?
But Todd, set it up the way you set it up to me, man. I even put it on the screener that way, that you got stiffed by Dan and Layla. You're a loyal Dan and Layla caller. You got stiffed, so we welcome you here because we hate them.
Dude, but do we really need the caller resume at the beginning?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we call bringing it.
So here's my prediction. Their linebackers are terrible. It's either going to be Justin Fields coming out party or it's going to be JOK's coming out party.
JOK. Yeah.
JOK, you're on in Chicago. And in fairness, if I could quibble, this is more of a Thursday or Friday call.
I really hate that call.
Who is JOK?
Jeremiah, I can't pronounce it. Yeah, Notre Dame linebacker.
Thanks, thanks, Todd.
You call yourself a Browns meatball fan, you can't pronounce the linebacker's name. What the hell are you doing to me? Dump him.
Dump him.
Thank you, Todd.
That call's going to go over great in Cleveland in an hour and a half.
Thank you, Todd.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, yeah, it's just a goofy, name, okay? Hi, what's your name?
Todd. I'm Todd. And this is Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent.
Go call up Adam the Bull in Cleveland and he'll take that call.
Good job, Shane.
You know what? You may have power now, but you're not God. You're a doorman, okay? You're a doorman. 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 Doorman!
I don't want to be the one to pass judgment, decide who gets in. I'm only allowed to let in 5% black people. He said that, 5%. That means if it's 25 people here, I get to let in 1 1/4 black people.
Here we go, Tony. Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Convergence of several enjoyable things in there. Caller named Todd, who might have been used in the open as an excuse for the comedy fan Chris Tannehill to play the George Carlin bit regarding Todd.
So many people had it in the moment yesterday, and I just kept thinking about it like the rest of the day. That was one of my favorite Carlin bits.
One of the best. Also, the recorder, which has become the unofficial instrument of this show at different times through the years.
That's my favorite part is like, hey, I wonder, you know, welcome to the jungle, big sports radio, you know, bed. You know what I mean? Let's bring it in the jungle, man.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's a recorder version of that. And of course there is.
And of course there is. Thank God. The recorder will always take me back to the carefree pre-pandemic days at Camelback Ranch at White Sox training camp. When me and Mac and Danny Parkins were all there, felt the electricity in that White Sox clubhouse that day. And I'll never forget me interviewing Danny Mendick as Dan McNeil strolled over and assumed I was talking to Nick Madrigal, among other things. But somebody was playing the recorder in the background of all those conversations. Because wacky Ricky Renteria, known for his wackiness, I think we can all agree, had a bunch of instruments there. And
you remember why we got kicked out of the clubhouse that day?
Because they were about to jam.
Yeah.
They were about to jam.
They were doing like an American Idol style competition.
Do you remember who was grabbing the lead microphone and making loud and annoying noises?
And in no surprise anymore, your mean Mercedes.
Your mean Mercedes. That was the guy.
Bag.
How quickly they turn.
I should be in the major leagues.
Quickly, okay, yeah, okay, they turn. Dude. Quickly they turn. Oh, boy. It's rough goes for White Sox Nation right now. I mean, as rough as it can be for a team that is going to clinch the American League Central at any moment. It basically clinched, God, a month and a half ago. 30-32 since the All-Star break. I did the math on this with Adam Engel back with the team right now. Are they at 100%? I asked. The answer is no, because Andrew Vaughn is not there. So we are still at a total number of days of full strength White Sox offense for 2021 at zero. There was no Eloy Jimenez all year, no Luis Robert for much of the year. Then there was no Adam Engel, and I count him as full strength offense. I'm counting Engel because there were a couple of games where Grandal came back. I saw Jason Benetti had the stat on Twitter the other night. It was the full complement of Robert, Moncada, Abreu, Anderson, Grandal, and Eloy, right? It was that full six-person complement. Three games, 3-0, average of 11 runs or so per game. That's what Benetti had. But Engel wasn't there for those three games. Now Engel is back, and there's no Vaughn. So you could quibble that those are minor players here along the way, and I'll give you that, but it's still the full compliment. This team has done what it has done without ever once having its full offensive core in place. And if Vaughn comes back, then they'll be there. But the pitching has been the issue. We talked about Rodon last hour. But look, it speaks, by the way, solo on Parkins and Spiegel today. The Craig Kimbrel problems are serious. They are real. They are unspectacular. And they are a problem. I spoke about it last week. But just in case anybody didn't hear, I want to restate a couple of things here. As White Sox fans have seen Craig Kimbrel scuffle and struggle, he hasn't had many clean innings at all. Last night, not clean, two up, two down, but then he hits a guy, and then there's a wild pitch, and then there's like a seeing eye single on the right side, and it gets through, and you're like, ah, you know, it's just baseball things happening to him. But, oh, by the way, the control was chaotic, as it has been at times over the past couple of months, and the velocity down last night, too, throwing 94 at times, Craig Kimbrel. But here's the big thing. That guy breaks. We have seen him break a couple of different times as a Cub and fix himself, find a way to fix it. Whether it was Cubs Brain Trust, Pitch Lab, etc. No, it's probably Kimbrel himself fixing it because he's a very smart guy. A couple weeks ago, James Fegan over at The Athletic wrote one of the better pieces I've ever read, frankly, about specific pitching mechanics when it comes to release points and fastballs. And it was detailed stuff with Liam Hendricks and with Kimbrel. And from Ethan Katz, and the kind of thing that relationships and access, along with research and a lot of trust, can give you. It's a remarkable piece. But, you know, Kimbrel is messed up. Why is he messed up? That piece comes to one of the conclusions, and it's a conclusion that I came to a while back. He's not comfortable. Dude is a closer who hasn't been a closer since the trade. And the thing is, you don't just say, well, see, he's all messed up in the head. No. What does that lead to? That can lead to mechanics falling apart. It can lead to slight inconsistencies in this incredibly difficult thing to do, which is repeating your motion as a pitcher over and over and over again. There might be nothing in sports more unnatural than throwing a baseball with the velocity and stuff that the very best do it with. It's just so unnatural. Shoulder not built to withstand it. That's why it gets hurt a lot. Elbow not built to withstand it, especially if you're not doing it with, you know, really healthy biomechanics, with healthy mechanics. And then Kimbrel's just really weird. He and Liam Hendricks have very different release points on their fastball. Craig Calcaterra on the Midday Show with Bernsie and Layla today talking about this. But it's also detailed in that piece, and which I referenced last week. Kimbrel's release point is really low. Watch it sometime. He really leans over to his left when he's releasing. And even though it looks like it's coming over the top, it's a very low over the top, if that makes sense mechanically. He gets out of whack. He doesn't get on top of it. Then the fastball doesn't get that carry, doesn't get that ride. And right now, dude is broken. He's got to get fixed, and he's not getting fixed. And I got to tell you, the more we've talked about this, the more I've thought about this, the more I put this on Tony La Russa and or the organization. They said they were going to alternate him and Liam as closers and that Craig was still going to feel like he's the closer. He didn't sniff the ninth inning until the 26th of August, I believe, is the first time he sniffed the ninth inning.
August 26th, started in the ninth. August 27th, started in the ninth. September 12th, started in the ninth, and that's it.
And that's it. What was game score in September 12th? Tie game? I bet it was. The dude has not gotten clean save chances. They said they were going to alternate, but they never did from the get-go. Man has been asked to adjust to an eighth-inning role, sometimes a seventh-inning role, and I get it. As a data point, as a line item on a spreadsheet, makes all the sense in the world. Human beings are not line items. Kimbrel has shown that he can be fragile. He can fall apart mechanically based on who knows what. And based on comfort, Ryan Tepera has talked openly about his teammate Kimbrel, was teammates with him in Chicago too, including last year when he lost it and found it again, about the ask. And I don't know why it happened that he never got shots in the ninth, but it was a mistake. Because, yes, he should get some shots in the ninth to settle him in. Okay, Craig, by the way, you're one of the best to ever do this. Just go ahead and do it, would you? You're great. Go ahead and do it. Right now he's being told he's not the best guy on his team to do it. And even if he says it doesn't matter, he's showing you that something is mattering. Something has changed, and it changed right away. And look, I said last week they should start alternating right away. He should get his chances right away in the ninth. But that's what I thought they were going to do, and that should have been happening since the deadline.
The theme has returned, Speaks, that we talked about often during the beginning of Tony's tenure here. And that he's not putting the team in the best position to win. Started that way. And I know you disagreed because you know a guy who how Tony thinks. And yes, I have a feeling that this kid's going to be great in the four hole today. Brian Goodwin or whoever the hell
right.
it was.
Right. It was Goodwin in the two hole.
No, but somebody else.
But forget it. You're wrong.
Who'd they call up and put in the four hole? Who was that?
It was Goodwin in the two hole.
There was somebody else. I'm thinking of somebody else. Whatever.
Okay.
So
Sheets or Berger, maybe?
What? No, I would have liked that. it's a complete difference now. It's just we're back to that same theme, and instead of the team, it's just an individual.
Well, I don't know what the hell happened here. What happened here? I got to know what happened between they're going to alternate, and Kimbrel was cool with it, and Hendricks was cool with it, to never doing that. Never, ever doing it. What happened? What happened? Was it Liam who spoke up? I doubt it. Liam has said, I want this to be my gig. Was it Han or somebody? I mean, Tony's in charge. Was it Tony just decided, no, you know what? Craig will just have to get used to it. I don't want to screw up both of them. I think if I do this, I might screw up both of them, or I might have a situation with both of them. Let's just leave Liam there. Was it the fact that Liam's on the first year of a longer-term deal and they know they're going to have to worry about him for years to come? I don't know what happened. Something happened. And Kimbrel's never been told that he's the dude. There's the time down in Tampa when Tony pulled Kimbrel after he had seemingly settled down and after a walk-off Tim Anderson-based win where he tied it and won it in that game. Tony said it was an unsatisfying good win because he thought he sent the wrong message to Kimbrel. So he's obviously thinking about that, or he thought about it at the time. You got a broken Craig Kimbrel right now. And if the playoffs started tomorrow, your first, going backwards, You use Liam Hendricks in the ninth. If I only need one more righty, I'm using Michael Kopech. That's me. And I know that I risk losing Kimbrel for the whole postseason mentally. He's pretty lost right now mentally, people. I know I might risk losing Kimbrel for next year. Well, he can fix himself at some point. But you're telling me game one, Lance Lynn goes seven, and you need one righty to start the eighth, and you'll probably go to Bummer, and then you know you'll go Hendricks to finish. And by the way, Hendricks could probably go two if you really wanted to. You just go right to Hendricks? You go to Kimbrel in the eighth just because these are your horses and now the lights are on in the postseason and you expect him to be what he has been in the past? Remember, this is a guy who's had postseason struggles before. Talk to Dave Dombrowski. What the hell happened in Boston in 2018? Talk to Alex Cora if you got a relationship there. Talk to Jed Hoyer if you haven't more. Talk to David Ross if he'll let you. How do you do this? How do you deal with this? How do you fix this guy? He's a veteran. He should be able to fix himself, but he's not, and it's scary. Don't like it. I couldn't trust Craig Kimbrel. I wouldn't feel good about putting Craig Kimbrel out there with an eighth inning lead in a playoff game right now. And I mean, if you think that's harsh, you think that's crazy, I understand it. 312-644-6767. But if it's me, and I got options, I do Kopech before him, and I might do Ryan Tepera before him. Am I nuts?
A healthy Tepera. I mean, he was lights out.
Yes.
Until he got hurt.
Yes, he sure was.
Hurt-ish.
Hurt-esque.
Hurt-ish, like the little laceration on the finger. I don't know how real that is. Mm. It seems like, hey, why don't you sit down for a minute? You've been great. Take a rest.
I'm the one who cut his finger. It's real.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Why'd you do that?
We were hanging out.
So just good.
We were playing catch with knives.
You guys were all pissed at me when I brought up this Kimbrel take last week.
Still
you're
are.
Like, are you really?
Yeah.
You don't understand where I'm coming from
No,
here?
I understand where you're coming from. I'm just choosing to be an optimist. I'm speaking good things into existence as opposed to hating. It's something about that chair, Tanny. Somebody sitting in that chair just wants nothing good for the White
Sox. Not
Radio
true.
Radio has a power chair.
It does.
It's not true.
It does. You're the power chair.
I want the White Sox to win the whole damn thing. I first of all, I bet him.
I prove it.
I bet him. Not that I bet on baseball, but there I am. No, oh, my God.
Oh,
I know I did.
No.
I know.
Bad.
I did. Beginning of
bad
the year.
Idiot move.
Bad idiot move.
Bad idiot move.
But I'm not a musher. I don't have mush capabilities.
Says the musher. That's the first thing a musher says. I'm not a musher.
I don't mush things with people. Man, Cody Hoyer looks good.
See, that's unnecessary.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It's true.
It's unnecessary. It's gratuitous. That was Parkins-esque. Oh, Cody Hoyer looks good.
You wouldn't know Cody Hoyer.
Who's this? Cody Hoyer.
Cody Westerlin. He runs the website, right? He played for Odyssey. Played shortstop for Odyssey. All right, good point by you. And I take back the gratuitous shot. Well, I can't. It's out there. It happened.
No, we dumped it.
I'm scared, man. Tanny, you're the manager. Game one.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Finally. Where's my first endorsement?
Game one, Lance Lynn goes seven. You're up on the Astros 3-1. Bottom of the eighth in Houston. Carlos Correa is coming up.
Righty.
Altuve.
Righty.
Uh-huh. And
Alvarez.
Yeah, well, Alvarez, you're going to Bummer.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I don't know everything here.
Altuve, Correa to start the eighth. Lance Lynn has gone 110 pitches in seven innings.
10 more pitches, baby. That's a big bastard.
Yeah, no, I'm not pushing my luck there. So you're probably talking about that's like third time that these guys are seeing Lance Lynn.
At least, and,
yeah,
and if he's at 110
already
pitches.
Already at 110, yeah.
You don't know what you're getting out of Rodon either, so you might be thinking about Lynn for game four. You don't want to think ahead, but you know that's in the back of your mind.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was listening, don't tell anyone, I was listening to the radio broadcast on my way home Saturday nights. I know.
Whoa.
Len was bringing up the Michael Kopech splits after two outs. Like, and how high the OPS goes up against the hitters he's facing after he gets two outs in an inning.
Really?
And it's unbelievable. Yeah. So I don't know if it's a mental block or whatever, but regardless. So like that would play into that. I'd maybe bring in, Kopech at the end of an inning. So you get him for the one off, and then you can have the flexibility to bring in someone else after that, But anyway, I'm probably going, if I'm Coach Tony, I want to see Kimbrel in there at least once or twice in a safe situation before the regular season ends, so I can see, all right, is the same guy or not? Like, we don't have a definitive answer there going into the postseason, which is the scariest part.
That is the scariest part. And I said last week, got to get him fixed by the time the playoffs come. There's still time.
There is, yeah. So that's why this is complicated and layered. Like, I would, that's first act as manager before we get to the postseason. Yeah. I've got Kimbrel on there. If they're in a clinching spot, you know, let's say they got the magic number down to one, and they're playing Cleveland a couple days from now, and you all of a sudden, okay, here it is, ninth inning, you're up by one. Who are you bringing out there? I'm bringing Craig Kimbrel out there so he can get that good feeling of being out there. You know, that's where I'm starting to see if you can get some of the good vibes, babe, going.
Yeah.
Because I said ever since they acquired him, when that door opens in the ninth inning in the postseason, I think Kimbrel's coming out of it. But, like, the way things have transpired the past few weeks, they haven't really done it that much, if at all. The last time he was out there for a save opportunity, his defense let him down, and it has continued to do that. So I would be inclined to, you know, I'm still going with Hendricks probably first out of the bullpen, you know, in a spot against righties in the eighth.
And let him go two innings if need be.
Yeah, and that's if I can get some clarity, more clarity on Kimbrel before the regular season ends.
How frustrating is it that we know the right answer here to the question, and it doesn't matter how loud we are about it, Tony La Russa can't hear it, and he's not going to listen to us anyway. How frustrating is that?
What's the right answer?
The right answer is Craig Kimbrel in the ninth from here on out until the playoffs.
The problem is, I believe, like, this is just me, that was the right answer from the very beginning.
Of course it was.
to have Kimbrel in the ninth.
Yeah.
And Hendricks be in the eighth.
And it's not a Liam thing. It's like, hey, buddy, this is not a you thing. You've been awesome for us.
You've been awesome, but this is a Hall of Fame caliber closer. And by the way, you have a more malleable arm, and we can use you for more multiple innings and more days in a row and things like that.
Go ahead.
I just dialed up that 6-out save against the Brewers from Sunday Night Baseball this morning when I was watching some of the tape, and just like that's the guy right there.
Yeah.
You know, they can use in any situation. Use him in the 6th or 7th if
correct,
you want.
Correct. I agree, and the fact that he's on a long-term deal should give you more.
Yeah, you'll be our guy after Craig leaves.
Who knows? This is a rare opportunity. Just take one and let's go out there and win a thing.
One of those pitchers requires to be pitching in a certain inning more than the other, and that guy hasn't been there.
One of those guys is more humanly fragile than the other. That's okay. And fragile could be a mean word. Sensitive. One of those guys needs a little more loving care than the other. And
I don't even know if it's that, though, Speaks. I think it's just literally the inning that he pitches in, he's more comfortable there.
It's the confidence. It's a human being needing confidence and comfort. That's confidence and comfort and routine.
And Liam Hendricks is a psychopath. You've seen him try to psych himself up there for the ninth inning, where he's hitting himself in the keister.
I think he and his wife and Ruby could have concocted a terrific eighth inning plan.
We know Ruby's right about everything.
Yeah, well, yeah, she is. Well, Dan Bernstein is the devil. That has proven true. I think there's no reason to not believe that. It's just weird, man. Last year, going into the playoffs, I felt great about the White Sox. I felt great about them. I was so thrilled with them. The vibes were good. I mean, yeah, there was the scary thing that they had kind of fallen to Cleveland there, and they had those last 11 or 12 days. The only thing I was worried about was Ricky. That's what I was really worried about. But right now, this whole thing, it has felt hinky. It has felt uncomfortable. And that's too bad. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to text in. Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The future of broadcasting had another week to show itself. How did it go? A review and some nuggets next on The Score.
All right, last week was like our first game, so we watched the film. A lot of coaches, a lot of feedback, a lot of evaluations. These are my notes. I got to slow down. I talk too fast. Don't ask two questions, just ask one. Don't say right much. Don't cross your legs. And have Eli stop making fun of my forehead. That's my feedback. What'd you get, E?
Yeah, basically a lot of my friends said I needed to do more forehead jokes. And I actually have a top 10 of forehead jokes.
Oh.
My favorite is it's not really a forehead, it's a five head. Okay. It's so big. So
yeah,
it's like a cowbell. I can't, you know, need more forehead.
That's your favorite of the forehead jokes? It's your brother. Your brother's had a five head since birth, probably. I know you're younger. Seriously, like, you needed somebody to write that one out for you, Eli? the Manning cast last night. What were the other forehead jokes?
Well, they told a funny anecdote about their father, Archie. And when they were young, Archie would be like, hey, lay off Peyton's forehead for a couple weeks. And it was just like, for a couple weeks? Like not like, stop doing that now?
That's funny.
It's like, realistically, could you lay off that forever? No, not likely. No. Just for a couple weeks.
Give it a couple weeks to build the confidence back up. That's amazing. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. It speaks solo on Parkins and Spiegel. Today on 670 The Score. I told you yesterday, remember I quizzed you guys and it was really hot. Really, you guys were super interested. How many viewers there were for the Manning cast in week one? And the answer was 800,000 this week. And I was going to ask you, do you think that's going to jump after people talked about it? Or was it going to fall because the bloom was off the rose promotionally? I have that information here. Do we think there were more viewers or fewer viewers than week one?
I think the guest lineup speaks strong. Lended to more viewers, at least anticipatorily.
1.86 million viewers.
So not that many more.
No, that's more than double. That's a lot more. That's a million more.
It's because we were talking about it yesterday.
I think so. So we did it. Those are all Chicago. 1.86 million viewers, up from the 800 grand in week one. And overall, by the way, the Monday Night Football ratings are more than doubled. It's up double digits from 2019 and 2020 in terms of total viewers. So I think that and the buzz of it is really driving some viewing. Talked a big game about the Manning cast yesterday, then proceeded to go out for a belated birthday dinner with my family last night. Indian food at the Chicago Curry House over there on Plymouth. Oh, delightful. But so I missed most of the Manning cast. The guest lineup was good. Brett Favre, I believe it's pronounced, was first. How'd that go? How did the Brett Favre portion of the broadcast go?
Well, I Danny was calling me a hater for not liking it, but I enjoy the clunkiness factor and just the logistics factor. Like, as a producer, like, you know, tracking people down, getting them to be in a good spot with their Zoom or however they did it. Like, that stuff intrigues me, especially when you're dealing with people who you know probably are not going to have an easy time with the tech, like, yeah. Brett Favre. And I'm not saying anything about Brett Favre, but he's kind of like not a media savvy guy. You don't see him a lot. I know he does his radio show with Sirius, but
yeah,
he's not a guy you don't see a lot. He's not an active member of the media that we see week in and week out. So I knew that would be an adventure, and evidently it was.
Hey, when's Favre coming on? I want Favre on this show. I mean, first quarter, we were throwing incompletions left and right, trying to reach the signal. Are we in Kiel tonight, Brett, or are we in Hattiesburg?
He's on dial-up. Yeah. He's got dial-up. It takes a little while to get logged in.
All right, what a ball game.
Y'all hear me?
Packers getting the ball first. There he is.
All right.
Where you been?
He's on.
Where you been?
Yeah, my two tin cans and a string finally work.
Brett, I was reminiscing a little bit about the first time I met you. I think it was 1997. And, you know, you were MVP,
Pastor Jan,
2 years in a row, I think. Past Christiane, Mississippi, I had snuck into a bar, and you can do the math. I was born in 81, so I was about 17. I had snuck in, hopped the fence and snuck into a bar. I saw you shooting pool. I introduced myself to you, and you asked if I wanted to shoot pool and hang out. And my buddy did not jump the wall with me. He was too scared, so I went out, and I was like, Brett Favre's in here. We're about to drink a beer and play pool with Brett Favre. You got to jump it. He would not do it. So I jumped back over the fence and left, and I still give him hell every day that we could have had the greatest night of our lives, but you never leave your wingman. I've been watching a lot of Top Gun. You never leave your wingman, so I had to leave.
Well, I give him credit for being an honest person and not sneaking into a bar underage. How dare you
that's
do
true.
Something like
my,
that?
My bad.
I'm
still ashamed. I'm still ashamed.
I'm sure you are. That was my uncle's bar, by the way. I could have gotten you guys in through the door if you'd have just asked.
Hey, Brett, you been watching this first half?
No, I've been trying to get
Aaron's
connected
being very
to you guys.
Patient, right? Oh, you hadn't seen any of it? Well, I'll tell you what's happened.
No, job in trying to get connected to you guys.
Just like gives you the anxiety as a producer listening to that. Like not only does not watch the game, you can't get the tech right.
Oh god,
and talking over each other. You got the officials underneath all of it for some reason.
Brutal feedback on Brett too. Like some echo going on there. Two things. One, if you don't know who Grandpa is on the Zoom call, it's you. So that's Brett Favre. But two, I like the interplay about the bar in Mississippi. That was funny. See, that's the thing. Like, you're there for the rawness. The threshold of what you accept is lower on this stuff because you're just, people are just hanging out. Are you okay with them just hanging out and giving you that casual vibe? I know it drove our Shane crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the idea of a few guys hanging out, talking about what the other guys on the other broadcast aren't talking about. But when you're in different locations and there's a second to a second and a half delay on each guy and everybody's talking over each other, logistically, it just doesn't make much sense.
Mm.
Doesn't make much sense logistically. What I did love,
yeah,
I put this in our group chat, I think, is when they would come back from break and then have a little bit more time and they'd show Eli breaking down a play from the previous series with his little pointer and everything. Well, I loved that.
Well, they should be doing more of that.
Exactly.
Because it's
take away from the live play-by-play. I don't need these two guys giving me play-by-play and trying to react to the game live.
Break it down. Yeah. Like, because they can use the all 22
right.
and show you that and do that. That was the great stuff about the coach's film room thing.
I like that.
For the mega cast on the college football, the BCS championship game. All right, so Favre was first. I know Patrick Willis came later. Oh, Gronk was second, right? Was Gronk funny? Was he all Gronky?
Yeah,
up there?
He was very Gronk, playing the Gronk character, and then they had an unexpected guest, but I think Shane will like this one.
My teammate Cam Brait just asked me the other day. He goes, "Rob, I have a serious question." He goes, "Do you ever watch film?" And I said, "No, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good." So I don't know how to answer that, Eli. I don't watch film, but I do watch
keep
film
it simple.
When the team is showing it. So every once in a while I watch games like right now and study them, but I actually, you know, definitely do check the opponent.
I see you taking notes and everything.
Yes, I definitely, and I actually do go up to Tom because I know Tom watches like, I don't know, 40 hours of film a week. I go, "Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing?" I go, "That's why I love playing with you, dog. You just know everything. Hey, hold on. My dog's barking. Look here. Let me meet my dog.
Who we got? Let's see the dog.
Who we got
this
here?
This is Ralphie.
Who is this?
This is Ralphie. He would be a fullback, but Peyton, I know you don't like fullbacks because every time, you know, a fullback usually goes in when you know, to run the ball and you always whine right. when the yeah. you know the Get offensive right. coordinator Get called right. a run. I want to pass. I want to pass. So this is a fullback, Peyton. All right. I know
like
you don't know.
All right, Ralphie. Nice to meet you, pal.
One of the underrated parts about this is Peyton Manning. Just you could tell he is a control freak. He was a maniac on the field.
Yes,
and loves
of
the structure of it all and just the chaos that is ensuing. And he has no control over any of it.
Oh, my God.
His little brother talking over everyone. You could tell it's driving him insane.
How many Xanax for Peyton Manning?
And that's
evening.
The thing, man. You give Peyton credit because he's trying to drive a talk show for pretty much the first time ever. Like when he does his Peyton's Places and his TV stuff, he's got a director there. They're telling him exactly where to go. There's tons of takes. He's doing this live for the first time ever. I give him credit, but it like, Eli, get your ass on a plane and fly over to Big Bro's house.
Well, I mean, I could see that. I could see that. You're not going to get the guests to do it. Last week they had Russell Wilson sitting in his basement while the kids were asleep upstairs.
Whatever.
You know, and this kind of stuff. But Eli and Peyton could theoretically be together. Don't forget what the game plan is here. The idea is here for them to make as much money as possible while doing as little genuine work as possible. And they're doing a pretty damn good job of that. And I'll say this, that I'm glad they don't have some random talking head as the host there. I think it's much cooler to have it looser and have Peyton learn to be that host, kind of like when Buffon and OB used to do postgame. You know? I just feel like listening to Doug struggle his way through the mechanics of a broadcast was nothing but endearing to me. Just absolutely beautiful. And he would go to black as a caller.
Let's go out to Black. I don't know where you're from, Black, but you're on the air.
Was it Black Physicist?
Yeah, so for those who don't understand that, so the old call screener, you had your name, column one, location, column two, comment, column three. Comment was always Bears. But so, we, you know, Black Physicist's name is too long to put in the name column. So under name would be Black. Column would be
Physicist.
Yeah, location is Physicist.
Black from Physicist.
And if you don't hit the space bar to get out of it, it doesn't register on the screen. So all Doug would see is just Black.
Which is Black.
Let's go out to Black. I don't know where you're from, Black, but you're on the air.
Hence the I don't know where you're from.
I don't know where you're from because it didn't even say Physicist. Didn't say anything. I'd rather hear football players. God bless you, Doug. I miss you.
Yeah, but you learned from Doug and OB.
Absolutely.
I haven't learned a single thing from Peyton and Eli.
You just said you did when Eli documented the play.
When he breaks down the tape, when they're trying to work their way through the live game with the game effects and the game sound a little bit too high for me, I'm not learning a single thing from those dopes.
I was pleased to hear Rob Gronkowski pass the Ryan Sandberg dog perception test right there. That was very nice to hear. Who are those? Hey, Ryan, who are they? Oh, those are dogs, Murph. Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it.
We did find out that Peyton hates punts. And so when they had Pat McAfee on, I think that was the best part of it all.
Eli, that long-winded answer kept us from getting another play-by-play of a punt. I mean, we could have gotten two. Pat, I'm sorry.
All I want to hear you
it's
say.
It's your fault for asking Eli a question that he gave a four-minute answer to.
Great answer. It was an incredible answer. I'll use that on my show. I'll act like it's my own. But all we need is one out of you, Peyton. Just good punt. You know, me and Leckler were texting during a commercial break. The GOAT, Shane Leckler. What is your deal? Just one good punt out of that mouth would do a lot for the brand of kickers and punters out here. You know what I mean?
Good punt. Great punt. Great punt. How about that?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Pat McAfee giving it to him, and Peyton laying down the F-bomb. I love it. Was Peyton drinking something in a Red Solo cup?
Yeah, they made a comment about that early on in the broadcast. Yeah. So I think Jay Cutler actually tweeted in, is that TP12 water? So that was cool, like the communal aspect of that, you know, all the old players weighing in. That was funny.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you know, I like that it's loose. I hear you, Shane, that like Eli could get on a plane and fly out there, but I do like the looseness of it.
Yeah,
I
that's
gotta
nice.
Say.
It's whatever. I'll give it more chances, for sure. I'm going to give it another chance because I hate that Carl Ravitch guy and Brian Greasy. Not a big fan.
How about Steve Levy, who actually does the game?
Yeah, not a big fan of Steve Levy. I mean, Carl Ravitch and Steve Levy, same guy, dude.
I like Carl Ravitch the way he broke bad on baseball and the commissioner in the middle of the draft in 2020.
I like Carl Ravitch. I don't like Steve Levy.
Okay.
I have no problem with Steve Levy.
How about Steve Ravitch and Carl Levy? How do you feel about those guys?
No.
All right.
Let's bring in Steve Martin. Have him do it.
I'm in on that. All right. Good talk. A guy I've been wanting to talk about gave me another big reason to last night. So we'll do that before we get out of here on 670 The Score.
The 1-0. Ground ball right side. Goldie there. A flip. Garcia there. 9 in a row for St. Louis. 11 games above the 500 mark. And win number 200 in the career of John Lester.
John Lester reaches win number 200. Nobody's going to be getting to 300 anytime too soon. Maybe never, ever again. The active players with 200 or more wins as pitchers in Major League Baseball, Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, and now John Lester. That's it. Max Scherzer has 190. He'll probably get there next year. Clayton Kershaw with 185. Adam Wainwright with 183. And it's really quite something. What John Lester is doing. I don't know. I mean, two runs over six innings, strikeouts of seven, including Javi Baez on a curveball in the dirt last night. I've been wanting to talk about John Lester because he has been incredible as a member of the Cardinals. And it's fascinating. We watched in this town, and by the way, Cubs baseball coming up at about a couple minutes before 6 o'clock. Zach Zaman on the pregame. This is Spiegel in solo for Parkins and Spiegel today on a Tuesday. Danny will be back tomorrow. John Lester has been incredible as a Cardinal. And he wasn't good as a national, really. But the Cardinals make that move, and everybody's like, oh, that's the best they could do. All right. Well, now they're three up on the Reds for the second wild card, four up on the imploding San Diego Padres, four and a half up on the Phillies, and seven and a half up on the Mets. By the way, the Phillies are not remotely dead. They're three games back of the Braves in the National League East, as Bryce Harper's probably going to be your MVP. But John effing Lester has adjusted and changed at this late date. And he's listening to Adam Wainwright, who has been incredible as a pitcher for the Cardinals. But, I mean, you watched John Lester, you know, struggle and be in a different era, no longer a stuff guy is the way that they had described it in the Cubs brass. And Lester now has learned from Wainwright, because stop doing stuff the way you used to do it. If they can't hit something, keep throwing it. If they are hitting something, stop throwing it. Seems simple, but Lester got there and he met with Mike Maddox and some of the other coaches to look at his pitch effectiveness and usage. And the coaches were like, hey, you know that cutter, that cut fastball that you've been using forever and use it more than everything? You should use that less. You should use it less. And throw your changeup on the outside more. Huh? What? Really? And that sinking fastball you have that you don't like? It's actually good because it looks kind of like the changeup and you're messing with people. It's like, oh, okay, what? I'll think about it. And Lester's thrown as many sinkers with the Cardinals as he did in double the innings with the Nationals. So he's changed it up. But I love the story about him and Wainwright, where he was kept throwing that cutter on the outside corner. And Wainwright's like, why are you doing that? And Lester's like, well, I got to establish it. Got to establish it. And Wainwright's like, yeah, no, you don't. No, you don't. The world has changed. And look what Wainwright is doing. Wainwright is throwing the best baseball of his life with less of the fastball than he ever has. Great article by Eno Saris on The Athletic today, by the way, about how old starting pitchers are having tremendous success, be it Charlie Morton or, you know, older starting pitchers are really, their ego is not as much of an issue. So they don't go out there and just try to throw it as hard as they can all the time and stick with what brung them and that kind of stuff. No, Lester has learned. He's listened to Wainwright. He is throwing less of the hittable stuff and more of the stuff they struggle with. And he said he's been listening to Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright as they read swings. Lester said he's never been great at reading swings, but that's what he's doing now. Pretty cool. And who knows, maybe Lester could pitch a little more if he wants to. He seems to want to. I thought he'd be done after this year. But no, he's got it figured out. Maybe he'll just keep on rolling like Wainwright is. After Scherzer, Kershaw, and Wainwright, in terms of wins, it drops all the way down to Gerrit Cole at 116. I don't think there will ever be another 300-win pitcher, people, unless baseball shifts dramatically back or they change the definition of a win. Want to say thank you to our guests today. Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. Joe Ostrowski was on at 3:40. If you're a music person at all, especially a vintage music person, go seek out the interview I did with Joe Shanahan today at 4:40 about Metallica at the Metro last night and really the history of big bands playing small venues in this town. That was a lot of fun. And thank you, as always, to Shane Reardon, the content king, and Chris Tannehill, who makes us sound better than we are every single day. Enjoy your evening on a Tuesday night. We are back to full-on Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow. Coming up after me right now, it is Cubs pregame with our man Zach Zaidman. Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow. We've got a cool show tomorrow, too. Chelsea Handler is on this show tomorrow. And Carlos Zambrano is on this show tomorrow. Big Z. You guys don't do commercial? We will. Probably not during your segment. Well, we'll ask him if he remembers seeing a young, clean-shaven Shane Reardon at that event.
Dump him.
Way back
that
when.
That picture does not resurface. You hear me?
Tomorrow?
It does not.
Okay, I'll find it and tweet it in the morning.
Keep that away.
All righty. Have a great night, everybody. Parkins and Spiegel back tomorrow. Cubs baseball is next. For Danny Parkins in absentia, it's me, Matt Spiegel, on The Score.
And What a moment.
You can't script the movie any better. Nobody left.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.